Okay, today's daf is Erev and daf Nun Ches, as we continue in Ketz and Ma'abrin, in our parak of the third parak in a row relating to Erev Tchumen. Remember, the next parak that we'll get to, Bezrem Parak Hadah, or on daf Samach Aleph, starts dealing with issues of Erev Chatzeros, Erev Chatzeros. But today, we continue with discussions of Erev Tchumen. Says the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amid Beis, Ein Modedin Ela Bechevel Shal Nun Amah. Lo pachos velo yoser. We do not measure the tchum. Right? We've spoken about how do we, from where do we measure? That's what this parak has been about already. Ketzad ma'abrin esarim. What do we include in the tchum? What do we include not in the tchum? We square it off. Last couple of dafim spoke about what areas outside the city do you include? Nosin karpe fleir. What if you have three cities next to each other in a triangle? How do you measure it? So now we have, well, what do you use to measure? So the Mishnah says, you use a rope. Ein modedin el bechevel shal nun ama. Use a chevel, a rope that is 50 amos long. Lo pachos flo yoser, not less, not more. The Gemara will explain, because if it's less or more, then it might sag, or you might pull it too tight, and it might be taut, it might... Either way, 50 amos was what Chazal assumed would be a good measuring rod. That is what the Mishnah says. Bizman Azeh, we don't use ropes that are made out of any material, as we'll see. We use more, the Gemara thought this was precise, but we use something, Bizman Azeh, that's even more precise. We use whatever the type of measuring instrument we have. Sometimes we could even use, let's say, sidewalk bricks. There's a certain, the length of a brick is a certain level, and I know there are a certain number of bricks in a row, so I could use that. But whatever, we don't use this bizman hazeh in terms of measuring the tchum. We don't just use a speedometer on a car, because as we'll see, that just does not take into account the slopes and the ups and downs, and there are specific ways to measure that, as we'll see on today's daf. But that's the Mishnah, at least the way it was done in Talmudic times. They had a rope of 50 amos. They used it 40 times in order to get to the 2,000 amos. And in that way, they were able to measure. Lo pachos velo yoser. Again, not more, and not longer, and not shorter. Velo yimdot ela keneged libo. And when they held the rope, it was held parallel to their heart. Parallel to their heart. It wasn't that one person held it by their head and one person held it by their feet. It was always held keneged their heart. The Meiri says that mistama, they used average height people. Average height. So it was similar to where the heart of each one was. Ve'ein choshishin l'ma she'ein kol b'nei adam shavin b'koma she'min astam b'nei adam b'inonim he'modedim. They used average height people, and in that way it was basically straight. Can you put it on the floor? Is that better? Is it better to put it on the floor if you have a flat area? So says the Ritva. Yes, the Ritva says it's even better. That's the best. Even better than the heart. Says the Ritva. Pirish. Kol shabalim dod bekarka mamish ha'adif atvei v'hi hamedida hanachona. That is the greatest. Avo misha modid bechevel shu gavoa min akarka she'ena rotzel litroach limdod bekarka. We don't want you to have to bend down. Nasnu chachamim makam mesuyam shelo yiten amodid achevel al keneged libo. So that's what the average person held it by the heart. But really, if you want to do it on the ground, that's fine. Other poskim say, no, the ground is worse. Because, again, the ground has bumps, the ground goes ups and downs. So that's the Bir Halacha quotes this Ritva. The Mishnah Berurah quotes all the Ritvas on Erevin that are Lamaisa. So here he quotes the Ritva as well. But he quotes others, the Meiri here and others, are not so convinced that on the ground is the best, because that would go up and down. Again, it would not be straight. Okay, so we use the Chevel, a rope of 50 amos, and we hold it neged our heart. Hayamode. So if everything is flat, so there's nothing to talk about. Wonderful. That's how you measure the tum, 2,000 amos straight. But hayamodeh v'higia l'gei u'l'geder. Or if somebody gets to a type of guy, if somebody gets into a type of valley, u'l'geder, or a fence, mavlio v'chozer l'midaso. Literally, you swallow it up, and then you go back. V'chozer l'midaso. What does that mean? So as we will learn, there are a number of ways of measuring, taking into account the slope, and sometimes not taking into account the slope. So measuring straight on a flat surface, that's regular measuring, that's medida. If I, let's say, have a valley, and the valley is less than 50 amos wide, so I could just take the rope and go straight over the valley. So then I am, and that's what I do. That's called havla'a. I am not taking into account the slope at all. I'm just going straight. Or let's say there is a mountain, but I can't get up the, over the mountain. But right next to the mountain where I'm measuring my tchum, right next to the hill, there is a parallel area that's flat. And I can measure that flat area, and then I could come back to where I'm measuring. So it would be an exact parallel to the length, so that also is allowed. And that's also havla'a, because I'm not taking into account the slope at all, I'm just going straight. So that's what the Mishnah here alludes to, mavli'o, I could swallow it up, v'choza limidaso, and then I could go back to where I'm measuring. What do you mean go back to where you're measuring? The Gemara is going to say that this is implying that you're allowed to go, move a little bit to the side, and measure a parallel line, and then come back to where you are measuring. So that's mavli'o v'choza limidaso. Higia lahar, or a mountain. Mavliya b'choz limidaso, same thing. Ubilvad, shalo yetzei chutz latchum. But let's say you're going to the side to a parallel area. You cannot go outside the tchum. Why? We'll see that is a gzeira derabanan. Because people might see the measurers and say, hey, look, they're measuring the tchum. I didn't realize you could go out there for the tchum, but they're only out there to measure a parallel area. That's not in the tchum. That's outside of 2,000 amos. So Chazal were worried that people would see the measurers and get confused. So that's why even if I'm allowed to do this, go to the parallel spot and measure, that's only if it is within the tchum. So that's what we do so far. But what happens if neither of that is possible? It's you have a pit that is too wide. You don't have a parallel area that can be measured. So what exactly do I do then? There's no parallel case. So now we have another option, another method. Im eino yachol lahavliyo bizu amar Rabbi Dustoi b'Rabbi Yanai mishum Rabbi Meir shamati shemekadrin baharim. I heard Rabbi Meir says that we bore holes in the mountains. Literally, mekadrin baharim. What do you mean bore holes in the mountain? How do you bore a hole in the mountain? So the Gemara will explain. Rashi explains here. Going up the mountain, we have two people holding a rope of 4 amos long, and we try to measure the horizontal distance, even though we're going up the mountains. How do we do that? So we have one person who holds, the upper person on the mountain holds the rope at his feet. The lower person holds it at his heart, I think. And then they go across in horizontal increments. So a little bit of the slope is taken into account, but not fully. We're not going straight up diagonally. So we try to use this method in order to measure the tchum as best as we can. So that's called kidur, right? Literally, it's as if we're trying to bore a hole in the mountain and go straight. We're not literally going straight, but that's how we do it. The Gilyoni Ashas of Yosef Engel here points out that the lashon of kidur is used in a number of places in Shas, which means a circle or boring a hole. Here's one of them. Makadja Maharim, it's as if we bore a hole in the mountain. Where else do we see this lashon? So he quotes the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah. If you find a skin, and you're not sure if the skin was used for Avodah Zarah or not, what if it has a circular hole right opposite where the heart of the animal was? So the Gemara there says, if you remember, you have to be worried that this was used for Avodah Zarah, because they used to remove the hearts of the animal. They will make a circle where the heart was and remove the heart of the animal in their Avodah Zarah ceremonies. So there, the language used in Maseches Avodah Zarah is Kol shekarua keneged alev v'kadur kimin aruba, with a kuf. Kadur kimin aruba. Therefore, you see also a circle. There's a circle neged the heart, kimin aruba. Or the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Kuf Beis, when it talks about a Sefer Torah that was written by a min, by a heretic, which does not have Kedushin. It says you can just burn the Azkaros. So there the language is Koder Azkaros. Right? You Koder, you make a hole, you circle, right? You go around it and you take it out. And you're Koder. Hu Lashon Nokev. Behevikan, and that's the Lashon you find in a few places. Koder. Might be related that he says to Doker, to Kira, is also to insert something. So that's the Lashon of Mekadrin, says Rabbi Yosef Engel. We use the lashon of kidur. So what do we have so far? How do we measure? So we have regular measuring, medita. Sometimes we have havla'a, which is going straight across and not counting the slope at all. Now we have Kidur, which takes the slope into account a little bit, but we try to minimize it, try to minimize the measuring. Sometimes we will see, on Amid Beis, Be'ez Hashem, we just go straight up on the slope. The slope is so significant so that we will measure it going up without the kidur. That's another way of measuring. And once in a while, the Gemara will say on the bottom of Amid Beis, just to summarize all the different methods that are used, we're allowed to use umdina. We're allowed to estimate. We're allowed to look at it and say, I think it's about blank. Right? So these are all different types of methods that are used depending on the situation. There's one method that's not mentioned here, but that we had earlier, that we had back on Daf Mem Beis. What happens, if you remember the Gemara says, if you're in the middle of nowhere and you have no idea, you don't have a ruler, you don't have a measuring rod, so what do? You're allowed to walk. You're allowed to walk. That was Psios. That was on Daf Mem Beis and Aleph. Shabbos Bebika, even before that. I'm in the middle of a valley. I have no idea where what the Tchum Shabbos is. Mahalech alpayim psios benonios. Vizui Tchum Shabbos. That's using your feet. That's only used la b'makam shas atchak. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that in Shin Sadi Zayin Sif Hei. That is only used la zorach mitzvah because psios is not really so exact. It's not like the worst of the measurings, but you don't have a choice. We don't want to leave you stuck in your Dalet Amos. So the Mishnah Berurah notes that if you need to, then one is allowed to use the psios. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch says in the beginning of Shin Sadi Zayin, Kol Adam Yesh Lo Alpayim Amos L'Charuach. Every person has 2,000 Amos. Chutz Mi Arba Amosav O Mi Amokam Sheshavas Ba. Except for his Dalet Amos. Really, a person has 2,004 Amos if he's in the middle of nowhere. Or if he's in a city, he has 2,000 Amos outside that city. Right, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch continues. Kadash alav ayam bebika ven yodiyat chum Shabbos. Mahalich alpayim psios benonios. Shein chum Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it. If you have no idea what the chum is, you're allowed to take 2,000 steps. Every step is about an amma. 2,000 steps. Mishnah Berurah says, Hainu chatzi amma makom matzav haregel v'chulu. Umayri shehu tzarech lolechaz le'ezet tzarech Shabbos. Umikre medida shel mitzvah deshari. Only the Tzorach Shabbos. If you have no reason to go anywhere, then you have to stay put, because you don't know where the Tchum Shabbos is. Okay, maybe you could go 1,000 steps. Some area that you know for sure is not close. But that is another option that's not mentioned here, but you got to put all of the Masechta together to try to see all of the methods that are used in terms of measuring. Okay, so Minani Mili, how do I know what? That you use a chevel of nun amos, of 50 amos. Where's the remez that Chazal found that you should use the 50 amos measurement? Amar of Yehuda Marav, the Amar Kra, Orech HaChatzer Mei Abba Amah, the length of the Chatzer in the Mishkan was 100 amos. Verochav Chamishim B'Chamishim. And the width was 50, it was 100 by 50. What's the double lashon of 50 by 50? What do you mean? It was 100 by 50. What's Chamishim B'Chamishim? Amre Torah B'chevel Shachamishim Amah Midod. So once you're talking about measurements, so this is a hint to the measuring. Yes, we paskin Rov Tanoim and Rov Rishonim paskin that Tchum Shabbos is Durabanan. Right? Even the 2,000 Amos for sure is Durabanan. Even the Rambam and the Rif, who say that the Yud Beis Mil is Doraisa, they say that the 2,000 Amos is Durabanan. So it is a Asmachta. So Gemara says, one second, didn't we use this already? Haimi boy le lito chamishim lo sabev chamishim. Didn't we use this to say that you square off certain areas, the area of a karpef? We used this earlier to say chamishim chamishim is always. So we had the past couple of days, right? The challenging discussions of squaring off and what are you including in the corners? So im kein, the Gemara says, no, le makra chamishim chamishim. My chamishim bechamishim shvas bin atarti. Okay, so you're allowed to learn. We're able to learn this, even though again it's not a real limud anyway, right? But still, we want to have an open pasuk, an open letter, in order to learn this halacha about 50 amos. Good. L'pachas v'l'yoser. So the Mishnah had said that we use a rope that is no longer than 50 amos and no shorter than 50 amos. Tana, why not? L'pachos. We don't use less because if it's less, I'm going to stretch it. I'm going to try to stretch it, and then one might measure too long. And it might be end up being too long, more than 2,000 amos. Follow Yoser, not more than 2,000 amos, not more than 50 amos. Because then it'll be Nismaid. Rashi says, Shekovdo Machpilo. Because it's longer than 50 amos, it's going to be a little too heavy. It might sag, and then I will not measure correctly from either side as well. The pashtus is, the Rashba says this, that you need two people to measure. What happens if I can put a stick in the ground and tie the rope to that side and then go to the other side? Am I allowed to do that? So it sounds like for the Rishonim, it's better to have two people. Again, in the Talmudic measuring times, to have two people, and in that way, it'll be equal. You know, one might say that because if you hang it onto something, that might be hold it tauter than you would want it, right? Because somebody's solid item might be able to hold it better than a person. So either way, we use two people, says the Rashba, one holding it from each side. Okay, what is the chevel made of? Amar Biasi, ein moda din el b'chevel shel af sakima. That's what you use. My afsakima. What material is that? Amar Rabbi Abba. Nargila. Mar Nargila. Amar Rabbi Yaakov. Dikla dechanavara. Means the vine that gets wrapped around the bottom of a palm tree. Dikla dechanivra. Okay. Igat Amre. Or my afsakima. Rabbi Abba. Amar Nargila. Rabbi Yaakov. Amar Dikla dechanivra. Either it's not explaining the prior shita. Maybe it is arguing. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Ein lecha sheyafel lemedida yoser mishal shelo shel barzel. There's nothing better to use than barzel, than an iron chain. That would be the best to use. Rabbi Yaakov Emden here says it doesn't really mean an iron chain because the rings aren't perfectly straight. It would mean an iron bar. That would be the best, the straightest. It doesn't curve, doesn't stretch, doesn't sag. Right, that would be the best to use. But what can we do? The pasuk says, has a lashon of chevel. Chevel, you got to use a rope. Right? A barzel, metal, is not a rope. So that's why the Torah says, what's interesting about this line that we just read? The Torah says, and we quote a pasuk in Zechariah. So the Maariv Chayis here says, I've written about this in many of my svarim, but you find sometimes that the Gemara calls a pasuk in Navi Torah. Here's an example of it. Right, pasuk in Zechariah, and yeah, we say Shehri Amr Torah, and we use that as a real basis, even though Misvara, he would say, he would want to use Shal Shalosh Shal Barzel. But still it says, because it says in the pasuk, B'yad HaChevel Midah, we use a Chevel. Right, a number of places in Shas where it says this. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think we've quoted this before, two Rabbi Yaakovs today. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about in his Hakdama to Emes LeYaakov, explaining the relationship between Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. We've mentioned in the past the Gemara Maseches Megillah, I think it's Daf Zion or so, that discusses the source for Tanakh. Where's the source for Tanakh? How do you know this Tanakh? We know because it was given to us. How do we know there was supposed to be Tanakh? So that's based on a pasuk in the Torah. Ksov Zos Zikaron Vasefer. That pasuk, the Gemara says, Ksov Zos, Zos is Torah Shebechsav. Zikaron is, I'm sorry, that's Torah. Zos is Torah. Zikaron is Nevi'im. Basefer is Ksuvim. What's the connection between all those three? Why? So Rav Schefter explains one in Ikvei Atzon. Zos is from the language Zeh. Rashi writes at the beginning of Parshas Matos that Moshe Rabbeinu had the vision of God with Zeh. Zeh hadavar shetziva. That's what it says over there by Nedarim. Other Nevi'im had Koamar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had Zeh Hadavar. That reflects clarity. Zeh. You could point to something and say Zeh. What the menorah looked like. Zeh Hadavar. Kazer Eva Kadesh by Kiddush HaChodesh. All the times that Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha and had to be shown something, so it's Zeh. So Zeh Hadavar reflects clarity. So that's Zos. Ksov Zos. That's why Torah is alluded to in the word Zos. Zikaron. Zikaron, that's to be remembered. That's Nevi'im. What was the point of Nevi'im? It wasn't with the clarity of vision of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zeh, but it was Zikaron, to be remembered, to be prophesized to Am Yisrael, and that's Nevi'im. That's from the word, how do we know it's in Nevi'im and not in Ksuvim? Because that's the lashon of Navi, Nivsvasayim is an expression of one's lips, those Nevuas were given over to be said. Then finally, Basefer is Ksuvim. Right, Sefer means Ksuvim. It was given over to be written down. It wasn't given over to be a Nevuah. That's Ksov Zosikaron Basefer. Good. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, though, in his Mavo to Emes LeYaakov, discusses what is the relationship between Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So he goes to an unbelievable Rashi. Rashi in Tainus Daf Tes. The Gemara there says that Rabbi Yochanan was going around the street and he asked his nephew, Reish Lakish's son. He saw him coming out of a base medrash. He says, Ashkei Rabbi Yochanan liyinuka de Reish Lakish, de Yosef ha-Kamar. He was saying a pasuk. He said, Avilas adab desalad darko, v'al Hashem yizaf libo. Pasuk. Yosef Rabbi Yochanan v'kametamar. Rabbi Yochanan was saying, where is that hinted to in the Torah? Where is that hinted to in the Torah? And Rashi says there, V'lo ramza Moshe ba'oraisa, shehachumish hu yisod neviyim uksuvim. Ubekulam yismach limso min haTorah. All neviim and ksuvim, says Rashi, are hinted to in Torah. Hinted to in Torah. And Rabbi Yaakov explains, just like Ilfa says in the Maseches Ksubis and elsewhere, Ilfa, remember the story, he was best friends with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went back to yeshiva and Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa did not. And Ilfa always had this undercurrent in his mentality, that if he would have gone back to yeshiva, he was a tremendous gadol, he could have been the next Rabbi Yochanan. So Ilfa, the Gemara says, sat on a boat and said, on the edge of a boat, he says, anybody call me any brisa they want. I'll tell you where the source of the Mishnah for that brisa is. And if I can't, I'm throwing myself overboard. That's what Ilfa said, because he wanted to dare people, he wanted to show people. But what do you see from that dare of Ilfa? That really all brises are hinted to in Mishnayis. We just got to figure it out. Says Rabbi Yaakov, all of the Vim and Ksuvim are hinted to in the Torah as well. Right, it's all starts from there. That is the root. Midiver Rabbi Yochanan Elu lomedim anu hayachas haamiti shebein atar l'neviim uksuvim ein davar she'eino ramuz b'Torah. Even in neviim, there's nothing hafoch ba vafoch ba dekulo ba ein shum matzav she'eino kasav ba shum she'eila she'eino nefteres ba. Wait, kishirenes purim. What did Esther say? Kisvuni l'daros. And they only did that once they found the smach on a Torah. Right, haster astir. And they found all of these ramazim. And that's why at the end of Sefer of Nevi'im, at the end of Malachi, with the last parak, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi. Because all of these Sfarim in Nevi'im, Malachi reminds us, the hint of it and the root of it is all in Torah. So that's Rabbi Yaakov relating to Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. But that relates to this line of the Gemara, where Zechariah is called Torah. How could the Gemara call Psukim and Nevi'im Torah? So the answer is because it all comes from Torah. The root of it is Torah. We just have to read between the lines. There's a Gemara elsewhere that says, if we wouldn't have sinned, we would have only gotten Torah and Sefer Yoshua. So I don't know if Yoshua is hinted, because that might be just a hemshech, going into Eretz Yisrael. If we didn't go into Eretz Yisrael yet, that's not the end of the story. But no, that's just Sefer Yoshua might be a separate category. Okay, so that's Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. Shua ben Chananya says, there's nothing better that I would have liked to use, except for a iron chain or an iron bar, but what can I do? The pasuk in Zechariah says chevel mida. V'haksib 1 minute ubiyad ha'ish kenei hamida. But doesn't the pasuk in Yechezkel say that in the hand of the man was a reed kenei hamida? So it says that that's what you should use, a kenei, a stick, a reed, not a rope. So the Gemara says hahu latari. That's latari for measuring gates. What does that mean? If you have a very small area. Very small area, so a small gate, so that's what one would use a stick for. But longer than that, one would have to use a rope. Another machlokas. Can you use an iron bar or chain if you wanted to? Another machlokas. The Meiri here says, yeah, he's machshir. The Meiri says, The Meiri says here that I would think that you would be able to use it if you would want, because it's just based on the pasuk. Mikoma opir nearly shabashalshalas barzel modedin. Umitan mashamru in the chayafa lamadias yasim shalshalshal barzel klomar. She ef shalamatchan yosimidai avama sevechulu. Vi ef shalaposla achashator hechshirta. What he means, says Amiri, is, well, I can't say it's possible to use anything else, because after all, the pasuk in Zechariah allows it. But mikal makom afshal shalas shabarzel ksheri lemidita v'yesh cholkin ba. But I note that there are others, the Rashba and others, argue that is a machlokas rishonim, whether it would be able to be used, the shal barzel. And the Shulchan Aruch discusses that we don't generally use that. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Sadi Tes, Ein modedin tchum ha'ir ela b'chevel shal pishtan, shal chamishim ama, lo pachos shi nimtach b'yoser v'lo orach yoser v'bnei shu nimtach karois. The Shulchan Aruch does not quote the Shalshela Shal Barzel. That was in the Meiri. That whole Shulchan Aruch just goes through how does one measure. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara Tani Rav Yosef, Shlosha Chavalim Heim. There are really three halachos that use ropes. Three halachos where we have to use ropes. Shel Magag, Shel Netzer, Vishel Pishton. And the three different materials. Magag, see on the side it says Min Gemi, a type of reed. Shel Netzer. Netzer is, Rashi explains, the peeled willow branches. Peeled willow branches. And Vishel Pishton, flax. Each of these are used for a different halacha. Shel Magag Lapara. Shel Magag is used for paraduma. A rope used for paraduma. For which part of the process? Titzan. These ropes are from reeds. They're not makabel tuma. That's why you want to use them. Remember, all the entire avoda paraduma is done with kalim, with items that are not makabel tuma. We go overboard to try to make sure everything still is tahar. It's not, as the Mishnah says in Maseches Para, kaftua bechevel hamagag. They tie down the para when they're putting the cow on the pyre on Harazesim, where it burns. They tied it down with a chevel hamagag. Vinasnuha al gam marachasa. And they put it on the pyre, on the ma'aracha, again, on Harazesim, right? Not on the base of Mikdash. The avodah of the paraduma was on Harazesim. So that's the first rope. Let's mention all three, and then maybe we'll talk about them. Shel Nitzarim, the rope made of peeled willow. Lisota was used for sota, when they used to tie up the clothes of the sota. Ditznan, v'achach mevi chevel ha-mitzri v'kosho l'malami dadeha. They used to tie it and hold her the clothing up in order to embarrass her, part of the process. V'kosho l'malami dadeha. And v'shel pishton l'medida. And pishton was ours, that was for medida. Let's just make one comment about each of these. So first, for the paraduma, remember, there's maybe two comments about the paraduma. First, we mentioned in the past the thought from Rav Salvechik in terms of why paraduma is where it is in the Torah, in Parshas Chukas. Right, we have the whole story going, we have all the stories that took place chronologically. We have Baloska, all of the times that Bnei Yisrael complained, and then we have the Meraglim, and then we have the story of Korach, and then all of a sudden Chukas. All of a sudden Chukas. What is Chukas doing there? Then we have Balak Pinchas continuing. Why is Para Aduma, the halachas of Tumah Tahara, mentioned there? So, Rav Salvechik points out, what happens right after the Tumas Meis? Right after that whole section of Para Aduma, what happens? Miriam dies. Meaning, what happened? From the end of Korach to Chukas, so there were 38 years. We don't realize it, but 38 years have passed in these psukim that the Torah doesn't mention. We don't know a thing that happened. Nothing in Torah Shabbat relates to us. We know they traveled every couple of months, whatever it was. We know from later on, the Masos. But from Korach, which was in year 2, to Miriam dying, which was in year 40, what does the Torah tell us? Tell us halachas of Tumas Meis. Why? Because what were they dealing with then? What were they dealing with those 38 years? We know every Tisha B'Av, everybody went to bed in their grave, and some people didn't wake up, Chazal tell us. So this is what they were dealing with those 38 years. They were dealing with death. They were dealing with this event that was totally out of their control. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them the halachas of Tumas Meis. Like Reb Chaim. They say Reb Chaim, when he got older, he was thinking about, 120. So they say he used to study Tumas Ohel. That's what he had. He started to love Tumas Ohel. Because that's how he dealt with the situation of Ohel HaMeis. So he dealt with the halachas of it, and that calmed him down. And it's fascinating that if you look in the Reb Chaim al Rambam, there are more halachos on Aholus, on Tumas Ohel, than any others. There's like two pieces on Hilchos Shabbos, and one on Hilchos Erevin, and a Kabbalah Isurei Bia. But on Tumas Meis, there's pages. Pages and pages. Maybe this was Reb Chaim. That's what he was dealing with. But this is what the Am Yisrael were dealing with in the Midbar. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him these halachas. It is fascinating in the continuation of the piece. This is in the second volume of Reflections of the Rav, Man of Faith in the Modern World. He talks about Tumas Meis is the only Tahara process that involves, not only, but one of the only, that involves someone else. I can't do it to myself. Right? Most of the time, if I'm Tameh, I jump in the mikvah. Right? I become Tameh Machmas Sheretz. I become a Zav. Right? Okay, I have to bring Karbanos. But still, it's basically me. I go into the mikvah. Nothing has to be done to me. Maybe Tzara'as is another example. Right? Somebody has to sprinkle on me. But by Tumas Meis, Mitzvah is compared to a Meis, because he's outside the camp. But Tumas Meis, I need Hazza'ah. I need to be sprinkled upon. Not just Tvila. What's the message? What's the message? That I can't do it myself? Because Misa itself is something beyond human capability and human comprehension. It's beyond. So we have to submit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even in the Tara process of this, we have to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond us. So we can't do it all, jumping in the mikvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kohen, who is the Shliach, has to sprinkle the ashes of the Paraduma upon us, as a symbol of our submitting ourselves to this decree of life. And that's how they dealt with it in the Midbar, and that was the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them. One ha'ara about Paraduma. There's another one I mentioned a couple of years ago in a Parsha Shir. It's a fascinating ha'ara made by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Once in a while, not too often, we find in the Rambam a knee-jerk reaction. The Rambam's talking, and all of a sudden, it's like we would say, oh, Chas v'Shalom. Right, a knee-jerk reaction. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out one, I'll add in one more. Two places in the Rambam. The Rambam is usually very meticulous in every single word that he writes. But two places we have where he has extra words, where Pashas, he didn't need it. He sounds like we would be talking. Right, Blianhar. Right, or something, we would say, we would just add in a phrase quickly, because we can't stop ourselves. One of them is in Hilchas Para. Hilchas Para Duma. The Rambam says, in the end of Paragimel, when he's talking about the number of Para Adumas there have been in history, based on the Mishnah in Para, the Mishnah tells us there have been 9 Para Adumas in history. 9 Para Adumas. Right, the first one was in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the second one was in the time of Ezra, and then the next 7 were during Bayisheni. It's amazing, maybe they needed a lot of them then. But there was one from Moshe, right, all the Bayis Rishon, they used one Paraduma, it was a lot of ashes. Right, one in the time of Ezra, and then from Ezra till Churban Bayis, the Rambam says there were 7, based on the Mishnah, that's 9, and there's going to be one more. The Rambam says, V'ha'asiris osa ha'melach ha'mashiach. And the 10th one, Mashiach is going to do. And then the Rambam adds in 2 words, Mehera Yigala. May he appear quickly. Right? So we think that, when we end the drushes, and Mehera Yameinu Amen, that's a new thing. The Rambam said it 800 years ago. The Rambam adds in, he says, and the 10th one is going to be by Mashiach, Mehera Yigala. The Rambam's writing Mishnah Torah. These are his words, Mehera Yigala. What's the Rambam doing? The answer is because when you talk about Mashiach, when you talk about that time period, you gotta say it. It's automatic. Mehera Yigala, he can't stop himself. Right? It's a knee-jerk reaction. One example. The Lubavitcher Rebbe points that one out. But there's another example that's pointed out. The Eim Avadim Smecha points this out, and others. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Asei Kuf Nun Gimel. That's what the Rambam talks about, the mitzvah of setting the calendar. And the Rambam there notes that the calendar is set by the representatives of all of Klal Yisrael, who are the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael are the representatives of Klal Yisrael. There are a couple of Gemaras in Harius and elsewhere that says, Kahal Yisrael, the term Kahal is only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They're Ikri Kahal. The Jews in Chutz La'aretz are not Ikri Kahal. And the Rambam then has a line where he says, Ilu Efshar Derech Mashal, if you can imagine, Shebnei Eretz Yisrael, Ye'adru Me'Eretz Yisrael, if there would be a time period where there would be not one Jew left in Israel, then the Rambam's going to say, then the whole Jewish calendar would fall apart. Because there wouldn't be. Jewish calendar is based on Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They are the representatives of all of Klal Yisrael. And Hillel, when he made the calendar thousands of years ago, he took the Jews into account. But then I skipped a line. The Rambam says, after he says that line, Ilu after Derech Mashal, that Bnei Eretz Yisrael would vanish from Eretz Yisrael, Chalila Lakel Me'asozos, Chas V'Shalom, Ki Hu Hivtiach Shelo Yimacha Osos Ha'uma Mikal V'Chol. End quote. V'lo Yisham Bezim, V'lo Yisham B'chus Lares Bezim Shedisach Ba'aretz, then this Cheshbon would fall apart. But the Rambam basically says, Chas V'Shalom. So both by Mashiach coming, he says, oh, here you go. And here in Asei Kufnun Gimel, again, a knee-jerk, Rambam says, oh, Chas V'Shalom, it should ever happen that the Jews should be gone from Eretz Yisrael. Might be elsewhere too, but those are two places where the Rambam has a, has to say a phrase because he cannot stop himself. So that is the Paraduma. That's the first place where we use ropes. The other place we use ropes is by an Isha Sota. By an Isha Sota. Again, just Isha Sota comes up just to mention, if you remember, one great thought from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Second Rabbi Yaakov today. Rabbi Yaakov asked the question, isn't it somewhat, as we know, the whole process of Sota seems somewhat, she has to go through this whole process, even though we know that the Boel stomach also blows up wherever he is, the Gemara says. But still, Rabbi Yaakov says an amazing, turning everything on his head. Rabbi Yaakov says, the husband obviously has suspicions here. He has chashad. The woman was misyached with other men. He doesn't know what happened. And let's say she says, nothing happened. I didn't do it. Deep, deep down, the man will always have suspicions and worries. The marriage will never be the same. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He came up with a plan to make it that he himself would be able to testify that the woman is innocent. How would that be? By the process of Isha Sota. If she lives, yeah, there is Chuyos, but if she lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding that this couple can stay together. So you don't need any better testimony than that. This is the only way that suspicion will be able to be totally uprooted from the heart of the husband. That's why this process has to be gone through. To save the marriage, not to destroy the marriage. Because this is the only way that even if two Edom would come, Mikom Akom, Afilom Yishma Baal Mishnei Edom, Shelo Zinsa Ishto Adayin Lo Yaman Lagamrei. Then I'm on a Shteidim, Exeris HaKasif, Aval Rikshei Lachashtei Habalo Yoelzeh. Vafilo, if a Navi will come, he wouldn't believe her. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me that nothing happened. Okay, I'll trust him. All right, so that says Rabbi Yaakov, that's the parsha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to get the husband and wife back together, and that's why also, what's the source that we can erase Hashem's name for Shalom Bayis? Right here, by Sota. He takes Hashem's, we take the name, and we erase it. Fine. And then the third rope is Shel Pishta. Now let's get into some of the details. The Mishnah, if you remember, said that if he's measuring and he comes to a guy or a ged there, that he's mavlio and he goes back. So it sounds from the fact that it says, and then you go back to where you were measuring, it sounds like you're allowed to go, walk to a parallel place, be mavlia it, swallow it up, umavlio, vitsofa kenegan midaso, and then look to the parallel length to where you were measuring it originally, v'chozer, and then go back. And that's what the Mishnah implies. So, and the Gemara says, it's really explicit, Tanin lo hadatan rabbanan, this is like what it says in the Tosefta, hayamodid v'yigia hamidah lagai, if it comes to an area that is difficult to measure straight, im yachol lahav lio b'chevel shechamishim amma, if he goes straight over the valley it's less than 50 amas wide, long, mav lio, then do it, v'im lav, and if not, holech l'makom sheyachol lahav lio, you go to a parallel place where you would be able to be mav lio it, umav lio, and then swallow it up, v'tsofe v'chos l'midaso, and go back. Fine. Im haya gai me'ukam, if it is curved, makdir v'oleh makdir v'yored. Not 100%, the Rishonim discuss what exactly this means, but Rashi, in one of his pshatim, says, let's say you have a valley that kind of curves up, you're measuring from east to west, and the valley curves north, so then you'd be able to go up towards the north to measure a parallel area. A little difficulty, Rashi, sounds like you're measuring the northern side and not the western side, and you're trying to measure west. Either way, it means to go into a parallel area and measuring it. Higia l'kosel. What if you come to a wall? Come to a wall and you're measuring. Ein omrim yakuv hakosel. You don't say you have to make a hole in the wall. What does that mean, make a hole in the wall? Tosa says, meaning you might say that you have to just try to be mavliya it, meaning get tall poles, hold the rope over the poles somehow, and disregard, try to go straight. Which is a tremendous tircha, to try to get these tall poles and put the rope on top of it, says Tosfos. Pirish, sheyamid klunsaos arukin mikan mikan, v'yimtach hachevel mizeh mizeh lavlio. You don't have to do that. It's a high wall. What are you supposed to do? And it's not like it's a hill that you could climb, that you could walk up, being koder. Tosfos says, the Gemara says here, Ella, omdo v'holech lo. Just estimate it. Look at the wall, estimate it, right? So this is another one. All these different types of methods. This is the first time we have. You're allowed to just look at it and estimate it. It's a big kula. Be cool about it, yeah, but you're allowed to do that. Ay, but anan san mavliya v'chozel l'midaso. Ay, but doesn't it say that you have to be mavliya it? Go somewhere further down and be mavliya it v'chozel l'midaso. So the Gemara says, hasam nicha tashmishta. Hachalo nicha tashmishta. No, when do you have to be makadir and go over the bumps and take that into consideration? That's where you have an area where people walk over. People, it's a bumpy area, it's a hilly area, so there, you have to take that into account. Nicha tashmishte, people use it, so that area is significant. So you have to go straight, even if it means, you know, going up and down a little bit with the kidur. But a tall wall, nobody's walking over. Nobody's walking over that wall. Nobody's using the slope of that wall. That's lo nicha tashmishte. And therefore, you could just disregard it, meaning disregard it physically and just use the estimation. Good. Period. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Second to last line. Lo shanu. When do we say that you have to take? Kidur, as we mentioned, takes a little bit of the slope into account. Right? Havla does go straight. But Kidur takes a little bit into account. So now, lo shanu, when do we say that we do kidur, that you have to take the slope into account a little bit? How steep is the slope? That's what we're about to talk about. Lo shanu ela she'ein chut hamishkoles yored kinegdo. That's only if somebody is holding, let's say I'm standing at the edge of a pit. Standing at the edge of a pit. The question is, do I have to measure the slope of the pit going down into the pit? Which is called kidur. I have one person standing above, one person below. So the Gemara says, Shmuel says, you only have to do that is, let's say I would be standing at the edge of a pit, I'd be holding a plumb line 4 amos out over the pit. 4 amos into the pit. If the plumb line would not hit the floor, so then you know that the slope is it's horizontal, it's not a steep slope, and that's where you have to do kidur. If the plumb line doesn't hit the floor, being held 4 amos when I'm standing on the edge, so that's when I have to take the slope into account. And that's why I have to measure going down. But, aval chuta mishkoles yored kinegdo, but if I would hold the plumb line 4 amos out, and it will go straight down and hit the floor, then that slope is very steep. So I could skip the slope, just jump down into the pit, and go straight across, which is basically similar to Havla. I would just measure the flat surface across. That's so steep, I wouldn't have to take that into account. That's Shmuel. The Kama Omko Shogai, is there any limit how deep the pit is? Kama Omko Shogai, in terms of measuring Tchum? Again, these are very Lamaisa cases. How do you measure the Tchum? So Amar Rav Yosef Alpayim, 2,000 amas limit. If it's more than 2,000 amos, so then that is too significant of a reshus by itself, and you have to do kidur. You have to take into account the slope going down. Esve Abaya, is that really true? By the way, this is all the whole chud mishkolos. The Rush says only if it's longer than 50 amos wide. If it's 50 amos or less, just do havla. Just go straight. That's what like the Mishnah said. Esve Abaya, do you really have a limit of 2,000 amos down? Amok kuf. Verochav nun, if it's 100 amos deep and 50 wide mavlio, then you have to be mavlio. Vim lav ein mavlio. And if not, you're not allowed to be mavlio. But you see, 100 amos is the depth limit, not 2,000 amos. So Gemara says, Hudamar ka'acherim. Rav Yosef holds like acherim. Detanya acherim omrim. Afilo amok alpayim, verochav nun mavlio. Even if it's 2,000 deep, it's okay. That's one version. Ikad amre, amr of Yosef, afilo yoser me alpayim. Another version, Rav Yosef says, even if it's more than 2,000 amos deep, it's okay. Says the Gemara, Kemanka, Deloka Tanakama, Veloka Acherim. That's not like either of the Tanoim. So who is Rav Yosef holding like? So the Gemara says, no. Hasam, She'en Chuta Mishkolas Yorei Kenegdo. When are the Tanoim talking? Where, right, the plumb line doesn't hit the bottom. So that's why there are limits. But Hachab, Chuta Mishkolas Yorei Kenegdo. Rav Yosef is talking about where it goes straight down and hits the bottom. If it hits the bottom, if it's so steep, then even if it's more than 2,000 amos deep, you don't have to take into account the slope at all. Just go straight on the bottom of the pit. V'chein, this is what we mentioned earlier. V'chein einam chud ha-mishkolos yori kinegdo ad kamal. How far out do you hold your arm in order to hold the plumb line down? Amar avimi dalid. V'chein tani rami bar yecheskel dalid. You hold the plumb line 4 amos out into the pit. Period. Finishing up. Next sections. Higia lahar mavliya v'chaz limidasa. If you come to a mountain, you're mavliya it. Right, you don't take into account the slope directly. You don't go straight up. You're mavliya. We said kidur, right? Person stands on the bottom, a person stands on top. Amarava lo shanu ela bahar hamislaket yud mitoch dalid. When do we say this, that you're mavliyo? You don't measure the slope going up. Literally, that's only if you have the grade of the slope is 10 tefachim going up within 4 amos. Goes up pretty quickly. That's why you don't have to, it's steep. You don't have to measure that straight. You don't include the whole slope for the tchum. Avol bahar mislaket yud mitochei. But if it goes up 10 tefachim within 5 amos or more, modedo medid yafet. That's not steep enough, and therefore just go straight. Just go straight on the surface area of the ground. Period. Rafuna Breder of Nasan Masni Lakula. He says, no, the same chilik, but more lenient. Amar Rava Lo Shanu, when do you say you have to do this? Ela Bahar Mislaket Asar Mitoch Chamesh. When do you say that you have to measure it somewhat? That's only if it is not such a steep grade. If it goes up 10 tefachim out of 4 amos. Avo Bahar Mislaket Asar Mitoch Dalid. Om Dabaholech Lo. If it's so steep, And basically, it could be lo nicha tashmishti, as we said earlier. So then just estimate it. Estimate the extra, how much it is, and then just keep going with the measuring. Remember, this is all derabanan. The Rabbanan said you don't have to be so have such tircha if the steep is the slope is so steep. My taima, we said this. Amar Rav Kahana, why can you go outside the tchum and then come back? Amar Rav Kahana, gzeira shema yomru midas tchumin ba'olakan. People might say, oh, that's where the tchum goes to. If you see the measurers all the way out. How does Kidur work? Tachton kenegalipo. The bottom person, the person lower down, holds it opposite his heart. Elyon kenegal margalosov. And the upper person holds it by his feet. Amar Abaye naktinon. A makadrin alabachevel shall arba amos. For the Kidur, use a rope of 4 amos. Right? Everybody keep going up. Every 4 amos. Amar of Nachman, Amar Abba Bravua. Ein makadrin lo be'egla arufa. Veloba ari miklat. Bepnei shein shal Torah. Kidur, which is not an exact science, but the Rabbanan said, you know what is good enough for us, is only allowed by measuring tchum, because that is dirabanan. But by measuring these two other contexts in halacha, egla arufa, measuring the closest city to the anonymous corpse, or ari miklat, measuring which is the closest ari miklat, so those are dinin da araisa. So for that, one is not allowed to use Kidur. So tomorrow we'll talk more about Kidur and these last two. The Chashuk Echemen here quotes many nafkaminas between Tchum, it summarizes Tchum and Daraisa, Tchum and Darabanan. Maybe we'll talk about Ari Miklat a little bit, and then Be'ez Hashem we will continue. Okay, we'll stop here. Be'ez Hashem, everybody should have a good day.